I was supposed to make the announcement. The youth were supposed to stay in service. So I don't see that. I think the youth must have left. Missed it in action. Actually, we wanted the youth to be here to hear, you know, Jay Rawlings. So maybe if someone could go and tell the youth to return to the service, that would be great. And let me just share just a few brief announcements. I'll try to keep it brief because we want to hear from Jay Rawlings. So just remember that tomorrow evening is a special service, Yom Teruah, starting at 6 p.m. And so if you want to hear the 100 blasts of the shofar, this is the time to do it. This is God's appointed time. And he delights when we make our appointment with him. And so I encourage you to come and be a part of that special service tomorrow evening. We're going to be having a no-nay following. It's traditional to eat apples, nuts, or apples and honey and challah, round challah. So, and also foods made with apples. So if you want to bring some apple pie or something related to that, that would be great. And it's also traditional to wear white. So remember to wear white tomorrow evening for our service. Also on Monday at 6 p.m., you're invited to join us for the Tashlik service at the Sandy Beach Park, you know, by the Bull River. We go down to the river and we have a special service by the river, and we cast our sins into the water and have a time of prayer and blow the shofar, and just it's a really wonderful time. And so I encourage you to come and join us on Monday, 6 p.m. at Sandy Beach. If you have problems with transportation getting there, just let us know. But the address is here in the update. And also, in preparation for the Feast of Sukkot, we wanted to order lulavs and netrogs for Sukkot. And so the fellow, we ordered them from in Toronto. He asked us if we could let him know by Monday, Tuesday, the latest. If you're interested in purchasing an etrog and lulav, just come and speak with me, and we will add it to the number of people who have already indicated they would like to do that. That would be great. And we'll be taking a special festive offering during the season, so just keep that in mind. Pray about what the Lord would lay on your heart to give. And then there's also on the update, there's some upcoming events coming to Calgary in October, some prophecy conferences and whatever. So all the information is on the back. Okay, well, we're just really so delighted to have Jay Meridell with us. We've known them for many, many years, actually going back to Edmonton. I remember in Edmonton we were with them, and when they first, showed their video on Apples of Gold, I think that's the first time that we really got introduced to Jay Meridell. And so we've kind of known them over the years, and they've been to our congregation a number of times over the years, and I think this is maybe the last time you visit Beth Shekinah, Lord willing. You never know. But in any case, we're going to have Jay come and just share with us what's on his heart. And if Meridell wants to say something, you're welcome to do so as well.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Cal. We're so glad to be here with you in this lovely ceremony this morning. I don't know if those of you that are here know that all around the world, there is a movement called the Messianic Church arising. It's not just Messianic Jews, but it's the going back to our roots. And it's what's been lost for 1,800 years. But it's being rekindled, and churches and congregations are going back to their Jewish Hebraic roots, and it's bringing wonderful blessings because it is the sap, it is the fruit, it is what makes the root rich and brings forth life and fruit to the tree. Can you say amen to that? And it's exactly what is happening here in this congregation. Amen. And I'm so, so, so grateful to see how this congregation has grown and grown and grown, and the richness of the service and the word. We go to a regular synagogue in Israel. It's a reform synagogue, but it's a conservative reform synagogue. And it's a wonderful congregation. And we are so glad to be a part of that congregation. And this, they would fit right in here with you easily, so beautifully, because the service is similar, so similar. Amen. And I don't know what it is about Cal and Jan, but, you know, you just love those people. I mean, you can't. Amen. We don't see each other very often, but when it doesn't matter, because when we see each other, it's like family. We just get together, and it's like we've always been together. And so even though we've had this COVID thing the last few years, we haven't been here. But instantly we're back in fellowship, in family, and we love you with all our hearts. And we send blessings to you from Daniel, our son, who was here last time and read the Torah, remember? And he loves this congregation. And on behalf of Daniel and David and Chris and Josh and all our family and their kids, we have 9 grandchildren, we want to make a presentation to you and Jan, Cal. And it's our book. It's our latest book. It's called Miracles Among the Nations. And we want to say, and this is how Meridel inscribed it. She said, "Dear Jan and Rabbi Cal, you are two of Father's miracles." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And Psalm 139, especially for you. Love, Jay and Meridel. God bless you. And may you be blessed as you read the miracle stories in that book. Okay? And that's just one of three. There's 3 volumes, so the 3rd one's on the way. We're still pregnant. Can you believe that? You know, the thing is, when you have a speaking tour during the Yomim Noarim, the days of awe, it's very appropriate. You know why? Because it teaches us how to be forgiving. People come up to us and say, "Well, is this your last tour because you're getting very old?" And then another lady said to Meridel last night, "Well, I used to pray for you when you were young and beautiful." So I wondered what's happening now. Is she still praying? But that's called having forgiveness, right? We have to exercise it every single day. And I don't say, you know, when we have our ceremony like this in our family, Meridel says to me, "Don't say, 'If you have offended me,' say, 'When you have offended me.'" At Shabbat dinner, every Shabbat dinner we do it. Okay, darling, you're my forever date, and I bless you. Have a wonderful time as you share for the next 3 hours.
Okay, maybe 5 minutes. It is so lovely to be here. I have to tell you, it feels like home. And there's such a spirit of gentleness.
Amen.
And you know, we need fathers in the faith. And you feel the fatherhood here. And I love the way the young men are being raised up.
Amen.
There's nothing more beautiful than a young man that is following the Lord, or a young woman. There is nothing more beautiful in the world. It's miraculous. And I bless you all, and may you continue to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about Daniel. He is now 37, but he was here when he was 30, and he read the Torah, and the men said, "Oh, what an accent." But Daniel is a Sabra, so of course his accent is perfect. Sabra is a person that is born in Israel. Now, the Lord has blessed Daniel. And I want to say that the scriptures we read today out of Deuteronomy 29 were his bar mitzvah scriptures. So, and the blessing over the little ones and over those who are not yet here, that's you and I. We were included in Moses' prayer that we would be blessed by the living God. Those were his scriptures of his bar mitzvah, which was wonderful. So we just feel like we've come home. And the Lord has really blessed Daniel. He has 3 big brothers that are always telling him what to do. And he was married 2.5 years ago. And they said, "Oh, man, you really lucked out." And then they had a little baby boy. And they said, "Oh, man, you really lucked out." So we'll show you a picture of the baby after. But our youngest grandson.
Sounds like grandma, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. That's about 45 seconds. I got to go fast. And so he's our youngest. He's 15 months old. And our eldest grandson is 24. We have 6 grandchildren in Europe. 4 of them are in university. And we have 3 grandchildren in Jerusalem. We have a son in Finland, a son in Greece, and 2 sons in Jerusalem. So are we blessed? Yes, very blessed. Now, this is the time of repentance, as you've heard all morning. And Israel is a very tough place. We have lived there. We moved permanently to Israel in 76. And the stories in this book that you'll see at the back, Miracles Among the Nations, all took place after we left Canada in 69. So that book was lived out between 69 and 76 before Israel. Because you see, God was preparing us to be able to live in Israel and not fall flat on our faces. And so we went through incredible things. Because above all else, he wanted obedience and he wanted trust. And so he put us through our paces, and you'll read about it. We're getting phone calls from people that are reading the book. Oh, I'm in Ecuador now. Or, oh, I'm in the Carmelite convent now. Or, oh, my goodness, you baked all that bread. Or, oh, my goodness, how those people treated you. Oh, thank you for writing about how your children were affected by the work. So it is quite a book. It's a family book, and it's marvelous. And I was one of the authors with my husband, and I wrote it, and I couldn't believe it. I said, Jay, we have actually lived it. It's true. It's true. So enjoy. It's so rich, as Jay was talking about the richness of the olive tree, that living sap, which we know is Yeshua. But you see, the miracle of a congregation like this is Yeshua is back home where he belongs. He speaks Hebrew. He loves Hebrew. He loves Israel. He loves the children of the nations to love what he loves. You know, once he said to me, Meridel, learn to love what I love and hate what I hate. That's easy. So, a time of repentance. And Israel, I said, is a very tough place. And people push and shove, and they're not polite at all. There's none of this Canadian niceness in Israel. It doesn't exist. How many people have I heard say sorry since I've been in Canada? I said, oh, please don't say that. That's so Canadian. Oh, I'm sorry. They say I'm sorry. So gentle, really. Such a gentle people. To a fault. Such a gentle people. And I have a word for you this morning. But in Israel, they're not gentle. They're tough. They're scarred. They're battle weary. They're miserable, many of them. They don't know the Lord. But you know, these people have guts and determination. And they know how to stand up. We live in a very rough neighborhood. But during these days of awe, something quite awesome takes place all around us. In the banks, in the streets, in the malls, in the schools, even in the synagogues. People become to be very sweet. Oh, excuse me. Why? You can hardly believe it. It's because they're getting ready for the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They want their name in that book. You should see our synagogue. It is so full from the rafters down, way out into the courtyards. There's no room for the people. They're desperate for some kind of a reality of forgiveness. This is my people. You must pray for Israel. And get a burden for Israel and see it like it is. My son Josh says, Mom, To most Christians, Israel has become an idol. Break your idols today. Get a good dose of reality and realize that a nation is being thrashed. But at the same time, Father God is on the move in a way among the nations we have not seen for decades. And what is the way that we can see him among the nations? And how do we know that scripture is being fulfilled today in a most powerful way? Because the Jewish people are coming home to Israel. In this year alone, we've had close to 50,000 come out of Russia, and women and children from the Ukraine. Of course, the men are not allowed out. And I'm sure now, Russian men will also not be allowed out. And also, and Jay will touch on this, and I'll leave it for him to, I won't say that. He'll say that later. Another interesting thing, Israel is a show and tell nation, and everything we live, everything we do. And I'm so happy you're going down to the river with your sins. Now you sit down real quietly all by yourself and you write out those things where you flubbed and messed up and stop cheating. Tell it like it is. You think God doesn't know who you are? I mean it. Man, forever since we've been in Israel, I get the kids and we get out the paper and the pens and we'd write down what we'd done. We didn't tell anybody, thank God. We wrote it down. And then we'd go to the sea and we'd swim out because it's still warm there as far as we could, and we'd drop our sins into the depths of the sea because our God is a God of tremendous forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And so that's the show and tell from Israel today. But we are here to give a warning to Canada. And it may not be the last warning, and this may not be the last trip. This is the last journey for Jerusalem Vista's Israel Vision, the television ministry. But Jay and Meridel are alive and well. It is a time of awakening. It is a time of restoration and renewal. Awakening. That means something is asleep. And I fear that the church at large in this nation is sound asleep in sins and trespasses. They have no clue what they are dealing with. And so I will share a little vision that God gave me in 1975, 47 years ago. Jay and I were home visiting family. We'd been on the field for 6 years. They hadn't seen three of our sons. So finally we got to come home. You know, when you live by faith, you live by faith. And it isn't always at your convenience. And so we were saying goodbye to family in Reddale, Alberta. I'm an Albertan born. Jay's from Victoria. And we got on a Greyhound bus, Jay with two little boys in one seat and him in the other, and me with the newborn 2-month-old on my lap. I'm so glad that Daniel Aaron made it here today, little baby Daniel. So we had a newborn and traveled extensively all the time he was young, as we did with all of the children. We took them with us all among the nations. But on that tour, the Lord gave me what I would call an open heaven. That means I was seeing an alternate reality. Even though I was sitting on a bus with my family and watching people get on and get off and watch the miles pass all the way across the east down to New York, I was living in another world. I was seeing things and hearing things. And I found it so stressful. I said, Jay, please, can I tell you what I am seeing? And I have found in 54 years of marriage that the sweetest thing in marriage is your companionship, is your ability to share with one another and listen and support one another. And so he listened to what I was seeing. He couldn't say anything. He couldn't understand it. I saw Canada. I was in Canada. The vision was Canada. I saw people locked in their houses. They couldn't get out of their houses. They were not allowed to get out of their houses. I saw churches were closed. I saw Christians were persecuted. I saw people were calling, parents were calling. There was no way to communicate. People were shut in and people were shut off. And I saw that I would lose family in this, whatever I was seeing. And that's true. We have lost two family members. And I saw a map of Canada, a great map of Canada, from the north to the south to the east to the west, and a great wide brush. And somebody was painting the nation red. And the Lord said, but my blood will cover first. I believe that you have seen the beginning of that vision. I believe you have experienced it, but it is not the full vision. The worst is yet to come. Everything looks calm, quiet, fine, nice. It isn't. Canada is not well. Father God is calling a Gideon's army out. People that will fight. People that will pay the price. People that will stand up and be counted in this day. I don't know what that means, friends, but I'm leaving that word with you, not to make you afraid, but to drive you back to Calvary. Stay there. Live there. Hide in Calvary. You know, Jordan Peterson is a great spokesman for Canada. And Jordan had incredible experiences in the cross. I don't know if you know that or not. And he's going to write a book about this. But he said, just do you understand what you are seeing and what you are reading and what you are singing about? He said, I was Peter. I was Pilate. I was Barabbas. I was the Roman that whipped him. I was the Roman that made fun of him. I was the thief on the cross. And so I conclude this morning with look back and get back to Calvary.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a problem, and that is that we don't have much time left. What I want to share with you now takes about 1 hour, but I'm going to shorten everything down to about 10 minutes. But what I want to share with you is that the greatest sign in the earth today of God's covenantal relationship with humanity is the ingathering of the exiles. And it's happening. It's not just happened in the past. It's not just going to happen in the future, which it will, but it's happening now, today. And so this ingathering of the Jewish exiles is four things. It's an answer to prayer. It's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It's shows that Israel is a completely unique nation. And it's a key to end time revival. And this is what I have discovered in our work, we have done 100 documentaries in Israel, many parts of them, so there's more than 100, but anyway, 100 documentaries, and many of them were on this topic of ingathering of the exiles. And but how did we get involved in this? Well, we did the Amidah prayer here today. The 10th part of the Amidah prayer is at Kibbutz Galulot, the ingathering of the exiles. It's what's calling that. It's a prayer that the Jewish people have been praying for hundreds, thousands of years maybe. And it's so important. You have to pray it standing up just so you don't fall asleep. And the story of the Bible prophecy of the ingathering of the exiles is found in 64 different scripture verses scattered throughout the Torah and the Tanakh. It's there. It's ready to be read by everyone. And it's an amazing thing. And this miracle is happening every day as we see immigrant Jews arriving from war-torn Ukraine, Russia, former Soviet Union, others from France, Ethiopia, the United States, Canada, and all kinds of nations. Why? Because Israel is like the Ark. It's a place where Jews can find refuge in this hour where the anti-Semitism is at the highest rate since World War II, since the Holocaust, in the world, but especially in Europe. And so how did we get involved? Jay and Meridell, Canadians, how did we get involved with this ingathering of the exiles? Well, it was in 1972. We lived near Washington, D.C., and we visited a synagogue exactly at this day. Today, actually, it was right on Yom HaTeruah. We went for the Jewish New Year. And while we were there, we made fast friends, and they taught us about what was going on in Russia and how the Russian Jews were so persecuted and were treated so badly. If they made an indication they wanted to go to Israel, they lost their jobs. Their kids were beaten up at school. They were suffering under this desire, simply a biblical desire to go back to Israel. And it was Henry Jackson. He was the senator at the time of Washington State, and Charles Vanek. He was another Jewish man. It was a congressman. And they put together an amendment and said there would be no trade between the USSR and America unless the Jews had freedom to leave. And Kissinger didn't like it. Nixon didn't like it. They were all saying, don't endorse this. The Congress and the Senate all endorsed it, and it became law. And so we knew that this put the Bible exactly in the middle of world history, in the middle of world economy, in the middle of everything going on in the world today was written in the Bible. And so we knew we had to get on the ball and start helping them figure out what we could do. And we began six trips into the USSR. I'm not going to go into them now. But we took in Hebrew Bibles on our first trip, and I filmed it. That was the beginning of my 16-millimeter career. And then later in 83, we went in and we visited with Lev Elbert at the instruction of Jews that had just come out of the Soviet Union. And they heard that we wanted to go back in and help them, and they told us what to do. And we went and visited Lev Elbert. And he said, I asked him, what do you need? How can we help you? And he said, just give us a voice. Just give us a voice. And that's exactly what we did. So this was Lev Elbert there. And this is the picture that Meridell took the day that he asked us to give him a voice. Look at the intensity of his heart. And he convinced me that I needed to change my life. How many know that when you get involved with God and what God is doing on earth, it means that you change. You move into God. You make aliyah. You become a part of what God is doing on earth. Not God becomes a part of what you're doing on earth. Hello? So Sharansky was in prison at the time. Avital Sharansky was going all around the world on behalf of her husband, telling her his story. And people like Yuli Edelstein, he has become the speaker of the Israeli Knesset. He was also in prison in Russia at the same time. But the key was we as believers and they as Jews, we were all working together to help bring the Jews out. And that is the greatest thing I believe that we have been involved in, and that is pulling the Jews together with the Christians to do things that were scriptural, based on the Word of God, and to see the anointing of the Holy Spirit flow through the two communities. It was really a great honor and a great privilege, and we saw it happen. But the gates were still shut. In 86, only 202 Jews came out of the USSR, and this had to change. It had to change. And when we went in, I knew that we were going to get caught. I knew I had to get the story of these people, but I went in and I was ready to go in, and Maridel ended up in the hospital. She was expecting a baby and went into the hospital. Lost the baby, and I said, okay, we're canceling the trip. That's it. Because we had another couple from Canada. We were meeting there. They were filmmakers, and we were going to join together and make this movie, the four of us. And so I went into the hospital, and she was there and very pale. And she said, no, darling, do not stop this trip. You go. God will heal me here in this hotel, in this hospital room. God will heal me in this place. And so reluctantly I went. We met up. We went into the Soviet Union and we took in cameras, hidden. They were small Super 8 cameras. But I knew I was going to get caught. I knew I could not fool the KGB. And so I knew I had to make an arrangement whereby the footage that we were going to film would be safe. We had to do it twice. Once, okay, and we carried that out and we got caught and they took it away from us. But there was a second footage that we left in Moscow with the Messianic, not just the Messianic, but with the Jews there, the Refuseniks. And they watched over it. And so 6 months later after that, it was time to go in and to pick up the footage. And I did that. And we got it out. But in the meantime, the KGB had made a movie about us. And they called us Zionist spies and international traitors. And they showed it on national television in Russia. Can you imagine? I became a primetime person in Russia. Anyway, I knew that we had to pay this price. And we were paying nothing compared to what the Soviet Jews were paying. It was a huge price. And so we went, and this was the day that when we went in to meet the Elbert family, and their little boy Carmi had just had his bar mitzvah, and we took him a Rubik's Cube, and he mastered that thing in about 10 minutes. And this is Bruce and Moira, our friends, Canadian friends, and I'm going to see them in another couple of weeks in Moncton, New Brunswick, and Bruce's mother is 100 years old, Violet. She's been a partner of ours for all these years, and she's hanging on to keep living till we can come to see her and bless her. But this is one of the reasons why we're on this journey, is to close up vistas at the end of the year and to go and visit our friends and our donors and our partners down through the years and say thank you to them. And I say thank you to you here. You've supported our ministry and our work over the years. And I say a great big thank you to you for what we did. But anyway, the film was released in 86. And we started showing it in major capitals all around the world, including here across Canada. We did a whole cross Canada tour. And we were here in Calgary. Remember, we were together. In the Jewish Community Center, was it? No, I don't remember where it was. Some big church or something. Anyway, a lot of Jews came. No, it was in a synagogue. I believe it was in one of the big synagogues here in town. But anyway, We had these showings, and we gathered 65,000 signatures saying, "Let my people go." And so then, but the gates had still not opened. They were still shut. And so we had all of this with us. And I'm not going to show you the movie yet. No. So we got an appointment. We made an appointment to see this guy, Yuri Reshetov. And he was the representative of Gorbachev for Jewish affairs. And so we had to make an appointment to see him in the Kremlin. So before we went, we blew the shofar in Red Square, right in front of Lenin's tomb. Anyway, so we went in, and it was a big room like this, big room, and there was a table down the middle of it. We were on one side. Reshetov came in on the other side, and all we had was our scroll that you can see there. Meridel's got it in her hand, and we put it on the table, and he came in, and he didn't say anything, this man. He didn't say anything, "Oh, how nice to meet you." He came in with a great big file, and he banged it down on the table, and he said, "You have power in the media." And I was shocked because, you know, I thought it would be a little bit nicer than that. But I didn't know what to say. But, you know, Yeshua taught us. He said, if you go before a magistrate, or if you go before an authority, open your mouth and I will fill it. And I did that. I opened my mouth and I felt a prophetic word, as it were, came out. And the word was, "We have not come here to criticize you, or we've not come here to put you down. We've not come here to criticize communism. We have come here to bless you. If you will let the Jews go, you will be blessed." This is what the good book says. And you know what? Instantly the atmosphere in the room changed. It changed from ice to warmth. And you know, it's one thing to feel the presence of God here in this beautiful synagogue, right? But it's another thing to feel the presence of God in the Kremlin. And it was a beautiful experience. We could feel the presence of the Lord come down. And so after a few moments, he dismissed his cadre of comrades. They were some of them in their army uniforms. And he sent them away. And he took us to one side and one corner. And he turned around away from the mics so they couldn't catch what he was saying. And he whispered to us. Cal, this is what he said. Can you imagine? He said, "My wife is Jewish. And we're going to be celebrating Passover next week." And he said, "I want you to know one thing." He said, if you ever want to come back to Russia, to the Soviet Union in that time still, if any of you want to come back, and you want to come back, Jay, I will help you make a movie." He probably figured it. If we had his help, he could make a better movie. But anyway, I was shocked. It was bizarre. It was a bizarre moment. Here we were in the Kremlin, and this big official was telling us that he wanted to help us. It was unusual, unusual favor. And so when we walked out, Meridale and I were just shaking our heads. When we walked through Kremlin, the Red Square again to go back to the hotel where our two-year-old Daniel was there and Josh, 14 years old, was there. They were in the hotel room waiting for us. And it was bizarre, but it was God. And you know, instantly the gates started to open. Remember there was perestroika and glasnost? And this changed the whole Soviet Union, openness and restructuring. And from 1990 to 93, nearly 400,000 Jews came out of the former Soviet Union, came home to Israel. 400,000 when there'd been 200 the year before. Can you imagine? Why? God's word says, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. It was God's work to do that. God was opening the door for the Jews to come home. Can you say amen to that? The ICEJ, of which we were part founders, they helped 200,000 of them come home, paid for their flights. I made a movie for them to make to collect the money and to bring them home and to help them once they got there. From China, India, Russia, Ukraine, Ethiopia, former Soviet Union, and many more places around the world. Look at the people. They're all multicultural, just like the congregation here. Don't you love it? So beautiful to see all the different races here in this congregation. It's how it should be. This is how the body is supposed to be. Amen. So anyway, we made a part of our movie was about Sharansky and because he was in solitary confinement and he fell asleep and he thought he was in Israel, but he was still in Russia. And when he saw that we made it like that, he said, those people who made that movie know what they're talking about because it happened to me. Okay, can Putin stop Aliyah? That's my question to you. Right now, can he stop Aliyah? He's doing his best. He's shutting down the Jewish agency in Russia, shutting them down. And Sharansky says there's about 80 to 200,000 Jews ready to make Aliyah out of Russia. And that's where the majority are coming out of. Even while the war is going on in Ukraine, they're coming out of Russia. Up to 50,000 this year they're expecting to come back to Israel this year alone, because God is working. God is bringing his people home. And this is the word of the Lord stands forever. Now, what I'm going to share with you in the next 5 minutes before the end of this service or our part, what I'm going to share with you now, I want you to remember this. Okay. Do you want to say something? Sorry. No, I'm not going to show the video. Thank you. What I want to say now is I want you to remember this scripture for the rest of your life. Because it's a game-changing scripture. And it's found in Ezekiel 36, 22 and 23. Where is it? Anyway, I'm going to quote it. It says, yes, you Jews have messed it up. You have profaned my name among the nations. You have made a big boo-boo. You haven't done what you were supposed to have done. But God says, even in spite of that, I am going to sanctify my name. And I'm going to make my name holy among the nations where I have brought you out from. Where is he talking about? He's talking about Russia. He's talking about the Ukraine. He's talking about the former Soviet Union. He's talking about Ethiopia. He's talking about all over the world, the Jews coming back. And those nations, the Jews in those nations that have missed it and flubbed it, God says, don't worry. For my name's sake, I'm going to sanctify my name in those nations and pour out my Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what has happened. In Russia, the Lord has poured out his Holy Spirit in Moscow, Kiev, St. Petersburg, Odessa, and many other places where mega churches were established. One of the largest messianic assemblies in the world today is in Kiev. Pastor Boris, how many of you know about him? Pray for him regularly. It's amazing. And it's because this scripture has been confirmed by God himself. When the Jews came out, he poured out his spirit there, brought revival. And that's exactly what's happened today. And it's happening. So a new day is dawning. It's happening all over the world. And the Messianic Church is arising. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is upon this body of believers around the world as they are grafted into the tree, to the real root of the body of Messiah in the earth. And they come back to their roots and come back to their basis. And this is what's happening. And so we are here to stand on guard for Canada, to give you this message and to let you know, do not give up. You are in the moment, the best moment of your life right now. And that is to pray as earnestly and earnestly and as earnestly as you possibly can for Canada and the leadership in this country. And we're not going to go into politics, but God is still in charge. Can you say amen to that? And so love never fails. And you can go to the book. The books are for sale downstairs, $25. You can go to the book and get all these different ways in which we saw revival break forth. And the same principles are still in operation to this day. And now you can also make your own personal aliyah. When you make aliyah, you go up to Zion. There's three festivals going up. There was the Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, right? Those were the three moving festivals. And people would go up and worship the Lord, take an offering with them, and take their children with them, and they would go and worship the Lord in Jerusalem. That's what Aliyah is. It's going up to Zion. So now, I would like you to just for a moment stand with me. Can you stand up in your places right where you are? And I want you to imagine around you, you have a little holy place. Or just around your body, you have a holy place there, okay? And you and Jesus, you and the Holy Spirit, you and the Father are there together. You're all there. And you can actually make your own aliyah. I'm going to challenge you that every day you put on your prayer shawl, put on your kippah, and make your own aliyah to God. Hello? Amen. Every single day. And you can go lower, or you can stay the same, or you can go higher. Now, to go, you have the choice. Every one of you in this room has a choice to make. You can either go higher, or stay where you are, or go back. And I recommend you go higher. It's a process of faith, step by step. The higher way is harder for sure. It costs something, but it's worth it. And so go ahead now. Let's close our eyes and close in with the Lord for a moment, just for a brief moment. And I want you to be conscious of making a step forward and upward. Hello? Can you do it right now? Even if you don't have much space, just move forward toward the bench in front of you and make a motion. And that is your aliyah. You are making your own aliyah right here in Calgary, right here in Alberta, right here in Canada. And you will be blessed. You will be an instrument of power and authority and anointing in this hour. And it will not just be you. It'll be you and your wife and your family and your kids. It will be all of you together, multiplied, having this impact in this area. Thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Yeshua. As we've shared today, even briefly, Lord, we ask you that these words would not fall down, but like Samuel of old, they would be cherished and held up before you, Lord, and would not fall to the ground and would bring forth fruit. And I thank you for it. Thank you for this congregation, a fruitful congregation, in the mighty name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.